Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. A week or so ago, I looked at the first five verses of this chapter. We spoke and said that which the Lord said concerning Himself. That in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Tonight I want to pick up in verse 6. A scripture declares that there was a man sent from God. His name was John. I read that over, and I kept thinking about that scripture right there. There was a man sent from God. You just stop for just a minute and think about what was just said. Wasn't that a man was sent from the President of the United States? That'd be a great honor, you know. President Bush personally, you know, sent a man, an ambassador. The scripture says that there was a man sent from God Almighty, a witness. His name was John. The focus of what has been said is not on John. It said there was a man sent from God. His name was John. But the focus of that statement is the surety of Almighty God, His Word. Malachi 3:1 said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2 said, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah." This was prophesied. God was going to send this man. God's Word is sure. God's Word will not, cannot, shall not fail. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but not His Word. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Oh, just a short statement, but a blessed description of this man, John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God. All men that are men that Almighty God has called are sent of God. Sent by Him. Got one message. This man, John, was a man specially raised up to hail the Messiah. This man, verse 7, says he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That light, Brother Scott just read about it. John 8. The light of the world. This man bore witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Came for a witness. That's the character of a preacher. Of a true preacher. Of a man taught of God. Called of God. Sent of God. He's a witness. He declares what God Himself has said concerning Himself, concerning God. And that's all He says. That's all He's got to say. A witness. He bore testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bear witness of the light. He bore witness that Christ was the promised Messiah. He wasn't drawing attention to Himself. Every time I flip through the channels and I see one of these hucksters preaching, he's got a huge, usually a huge medallion-looking thing behind them. And it says something like, you know, certain guys' ministries. So-and-so souls, you know, evangelistic, whatever. And they'll say, now, I'm not drawing attention to myself. Well, I'm sure they're not. You know, it's just plastered all over. This man right here came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men, through him, might believe. Came to bear witness. Now, you know, that's a pathetic thought. It's a marvelous, wonderful thought that God would send a witness. But it's pathetic when you consider man by nature needs to be told that light has come into the world. Only a blind man is not aware if the sun's out and has to be told. This man came by the mercy and grace of God, came into this world to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, not all mankind without exception. Now, you know that's not so. This man didn't come to make salvation possible. Turn with me to John 6:45 just for a second. John 6:45. Talking about that all through him might believe. John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Now, who is this all? Who are these all? Well, keep reading. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. All that hear of God and learn of the Father, taught of him, they come to Christ. All of them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was quoting Isaiah 54:13. Turn back there with me. Isaiah 54:13. Isaiah 54:13. Now, here's the scripture. When he said back in John 6:45, when the Lord Himself said, it is written in the prophets, here's what He was quoting. And all thy children, all God's people, shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So when John came as a witness, back in John 1:7, he came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, all God's people, all God's elect, might believe. He was not that light. That's what verse 8 says. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. 1 John 1:5 says that he was not that light. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. John was not that light. God is light. The Lord spoke of John the Baptist Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 5:35. I know I'm flipping around a lot here, but I'm going to show you some things that we're settling some issues right here. The beginning of this book, the declaration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're establishing this foundation, who He is, the Lord Himself. John, writing, says He was not that light. He came to bear witness of the light, but He was not that light. Listen to the Lord's words in John 5, verse 35. He was speaking of John. Well, let's read verse 32. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is truth. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. And there's the Lord speaking of John. He said, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now the Lord said that he was a shining light. But that word light, right there, and the word light back in John 1 is two different words. The Lord himself, speaking of John, says that John was a candle or a lamp that doesn't produce its own light. Like the moon. The moon doesn't produce its own light. The sun does. But the moon is reflected light. John was a reflected light. The Lord himself is light. He is light itself. He said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 9 says, that was the true light. Christ himself, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light. The sure light. He, first of all, is the undeceiving light. It said he's the true light. Now, Satan himself is able to transform himself into an angel of light, but he does so only to deceive. A lot of men standing. A lot of men standing in pulpits. A lot of men saying a lot of things. But I want to tell you something. If they don't speak according to this word, they're messengers of Satan. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel. Appears as though that he's truthful. Christ himself is, the Scripture says, the true light, the undeceiving light. He's secondly the revealed light, who is the revelation of all types, shadows, figures in the Old Testament. He is the revelation. We read in the book of Genesis, when Noah built an ark, that's a picture of Christ himself. Christ is the revelation of that ark. That brazen serpent that was raised up, Christ, as the serpent was raised, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As that rock that was smitten, you know that was a picture of Christ. He's the revealed light. That's Christ. Thirdly, he's the underived light. He didn't come from another. In the beginning. That's what Scripture says. That's who we're talking about right here. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. God is light. Fourthly, he's the true light, meaning he is the light above all others. Rank and dignity. One writer called him the supereminent light. The light that is everlasting. Light. Light. I know a little bit, I mean a little bit, about light. I took a few art classes. I studied a little bit about light. Now, light itself. Light is invisible. Do you know that? Light's invisible. You can't see light. Invisible. You only know that light is there when it reflects off of something. It's amazing, this thing of light. You start to study it, look at it. You take a flashlight and you turn it on at night, or go into a room and flip that light on. And you go into a dusty room, I'll tell you that, and kind of move some stuff around, and you turn that flashlight on, and dust particles, you see them. All you're seeing is the reflection. That's it. That's how you know that light is there. Light. Turn these lights off, and you don't see anything. There's an absence of light. Light itself. This is the verse that Brother Scott just quoted, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Light. He is light. Light invisible. Without Almighty God revealing Himself, you don't know Him. As God commanded light to shine out of the chaos of darkness that was upon the face of the deep back in Genesis 1, so spiritual darkness broods over the minds of men until God shines into their hearts and reveals Himself. Man, by nature, does not know Him. He was not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. God's preachers are witnesses. They're ambassadors. They're messengers. That's all they are. Messengers declaring what God Himself has said. That's what they are. They bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That is, He lighteth, or He enlighteneth effectually. Jews and Gentiles, His elect, His people, calls them out of darkness. He was in the world, verse 10 says, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Oh, the gross unbelief and blindness of men. Men, by nature, are blind, spiritually blind. He was in the world, John said. Now, I want you to notice this. I got to reading that, and He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. Certainly, He was in the world in His incarnation. I know that. In the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But He was in the world even before He was manifest in the flesh. He was in the world. He was in the world in creation. Creation declares the handiwork of God. We see it. The creation itself declares God Himself. In that man is without excuse. As I said, you go outside and you see a tree standing outside. That tree right there declares the handiwork of God. These mountains around here. I'm amazed. Now, these are mountains to me. This looks like the Alps to me. This declares the handiwork of God. Man is without excuse. He was in the world. In the days of Noah, He was in the world. Before His incarnation, Noah preached 120 years. He was in the world. In the works of providence, in types and figures, He was in the world. And the world was made by Him. Didn't know Him. Didn't know Him. In Romans chapter 1. verse 20. Romans 1:20. I believe this is what Paul had reference to right here. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Visible things from the creation. He was in the world. And the world didn't know Him. Didn't believe Him. Weren't subject to Him. He came to His own. And His own received Him not. It would seem as though, now this shows you the depravity of a man. You would think that a man by nature, you'd think that a man by nature would desire salvation, deliverance, hope, peace, peace with God. You'd think he would. Man is of such rebellion. Man is such a scum. Man despises Almighty God. And absolutely despises the thought. By nature, he despises the thought of being at peace with God. Hates God. You think, how can that be? You know that's so. Man by nature says this, I will not have that man rule over me. I won't do it. Man by nature says in his rebellious heart, I will. I would rather be separated from him than to bow. I will not obey him. His word is not worthy to be kept. He is not trustworthy. You say, well, that's a little strong. You go back and read and see what Adam did. God told him, eat of all of the fruits of these trees. In the day that you eat of this tree, you're going to die. You know what Adam said in his heart? That's not true. God's not worthy to be trusted. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Truly, he came to the Jews first and was rejected. But I'll tell you this, leave a man to himself. Leave God's elect to themselves. Leave a man alone, and that man will receive him not. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, do you think he was one of God's elect? Sure he was. He's one of mine. Chosen, set apart, called by. When did Saul of Tarsus bow? When the Lord Jesus Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus. Called him by his grace. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Who are you? Who are you? I'm Jesus. It's who you're persecuting. Came to his hall. All men. Came to his own. And his own received him not. But. My, what a word. But, that reminds me in Ephesians, you've read this so many times. Turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, look at verse 3. and 4. Well, I'll read verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others but God. Oh my. Or could we not just stop for just a minute and just feast on those two words right there, but God. We all had our way. We all had our walk. We all had our conversation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The Scripture says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. As many as received, as many as believed Him, as many as by faith acknowledge Him, know Him, cast themselves upon Him, the Messiah, as many, whosoever, as many as received Him, as many as believed Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege. It is Christ Himself who grants salvation. It is not that a man receives Christ, and then God saves him. It is Christ Himself who saves. As many as received Him, here's the evidence of that. He gave them the privilege. As many as believe on His name, not merely that there is a Lord Jesus, not merely that there is a Jesus Christ, but that He Himself is the Christ. Nicodemus knew that the Lord, he said, the one that came to Jesus by night, was a teacher come from God. We know that you're a teacher come from God. But it was Peter himself that confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "You are the Christ. That's who you are." Nicodemus said, "You're a teacher. I know that. I know you're a teacher. Come from God." Peter said, "You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the one that we look for. That's who you are. The Son of the living God." Christ Himself saves His people. As many as received Him, to them He gave the privilege to become the sons of God. Salvation's of the Lord first. Salvation's not in the hands of man. Which were born. John is going to make something perfectly clear. I know how men will take that 12th verse and say, "Well, it says as many as received Him, well, then them He gives the power." No, John is going to clarify something right here in verse 13. Which were born, spiritually born, reborn, regenerated. Which were born, not of blood, not from descent, not from bloodlines. I said the other day, just because your mom and daddy are believers doesn't make the children believers. Which were born, not of blood, and not born of the will of the flesh, not of the efforts of the old natural heart, not of man's free will. Nature can never change itself. That which is flesh is flesh. You can talk to it, You can try to reason with it. You can try to make it understand. It has still, it's always amazed me. I do understand it. I remember one night, I was in Louisiana, riding down the road at night with the light turned on in a truck, trying to get a fella to read John chapter 17. I thought to myself, there is no possible way, I'm sure, that you can't at least understand something about what he's saying. I said, just read the chapter to me. While we're driving, just read it. And he came to that ninth verse, and the Lord says, I pray not. I pray not for the world. But I pray for those that you gave me out of the world. I pray for them. I pray for them. I said, now turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks to you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I said, you understand that? He said, yeah, I understand it. I said, obviously, a man doesn't have a free will. He said, yes, he does. The Scripture says, men were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man. I would desire God be pleased to save all my family. I got a brother. I've said this. I wish I could be as nice as he is. He's the most pleasant fellow I've ever met in my life. Most generous. He is just so kind and so, you know. He lives. He's got 5 miles from Milton Howard. Just won't come. No desire. Every once in a while, I really get to thinking about that. I'm thinking, you're going to meet God. You're going to meet God one day. Men were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Believers are what they are solely by the grace of God. Free grace, calling grace, converting grace, sanctifying grace, keeping grace, sovereign grace. There was a man sent from God. He came to bear witness of the light. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Don't deserve this. Tonight, if you know Him by grace. If you've received Him, if you believed Him, if you've called on Him, you've done so because He was pleased to grant you a heart to do so. He removed a heart of stone. He gave you a heart. He made you willing. In the day of His power, you are what you are by God's sovereign grace. Our Father, how we thank You for this time we've got just to come together, consider Him who is altogether lovely, wonderful. The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the light, the word, the door, the way, the truth, the life. How we pray tonight, would you hide this word in our heart. We might behold Him, feast upon Him, muse upon Him. For Christ's sake. Amen. Brother Pat, won't you come?